Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Imperfect Wives Radio. I am your host, Sheree Zack, coming live to you from Beaufort, South Carolina, the beautiful Carolinas. And I'm here with my co-host this morning and ministry partner, incredible friend, Angela Craig. Good morning, Angela.
Well, good morning to you, dear friend. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm excited about today's show. I love that God is bringing together friends. I'm really starting to think we need to call this Sheree and Friends.
It's not a bad idea, actually.
I know.
Across the globe.
Across the globe, because it is incredible the women that that God is bringing Imperfect Wives Radio to their attention, and just like you calling me and saying, hey, I had an idea for a show. Would you like to hear it? You know, others are calling and saying, if you need help, I'd love to be on the show with you. And God is just really stirring some amazing things for this show. So I'm excited to see the growth and the changes. And I'm really excited to have you with me this morning.
Well, I think, and I know that all the people that are listening today know the power of what this show has meant to me and everyone, all the listeners, and so just the power of what you have done and what God is doing in the lives of all of us who listen to the Imperfect Wives and who are online with you. And so I just want to see it grow, and so does God. So I'm excited to get started today.
Amen. I love that you said that you want to see it grow because, as you know, that is definitely what this ministry is doing. And, Angela, God, I've noticed with Imperfect Wives, even not just Imperfect Wives Radio, but the overall ministry, the Imperfect Wives, it has, since its start, way back when, it has always grown ahead of me. I'm the one who's always been playing catch-up, and I never feel like I actually catch up to where the ministry is at because it has always moved and grown so fast. But I also know that when ministry happens that way, it's definitely not you. It is God. He's the one that's moving. He's the one that's elevating. You know, he's the one that is putting people in place that you need, people with gifts just like you, strong gifts, strong talents that he wants to use through his ministry. And one thing that I have learned walking with Rebecca and other people, that I am not the only voice that needs to be heard concerning marriage. There are many voices that God wants to be heard, concerning marriage. And so one of the great things about Imperfect Wives Radio is it gives us a platform to allow that to flourish, and to grow. So I'm excited to have you this morning, and I'm excited that you're a regular on the show as well. And I appreciate you saying yes to that, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Well, I love being with you. It's really fun to hang out with you on Tuesday mornings and have coffee and with everybody else. And you know what I think? What your story is such an encouragement to me, and I hope to everybody who's listening, is that each of the women who are listening and myself, God has planted a passion and a fire in each of us. And your story to me just says, go for it, ladies. I mean, God will empower you, and it's not in your own ability that you will do the great things in life and will serve others. It's in his power. And so, like you said, the ministry gets ahead of you, but you can do it. So if maybe that's your message today. Maybe it has nothing to do with peace or combat boots, but we just want to be an encouragement to you, and we're here for you to give you a to build you up, and that's what's great about women. I love men too, but I tend to ministers, women. So just we want to be an encouragement to you in your, not just in your marriage, but in every part of your life. So be encouraged and inspired by what Cherie is doing. And if God's put something on your heart, write in and let us know. We'd like to encourage you in that.
Amen. Amen. And this morning, the word that God's given us to share this morning has really encouraged Angela and I to open up the chat room, or not the chat room, I'm sorry, the chat room is going, but to open up the phone line. So if you have a question, if something stirs in your heart and in your spirit as we're talking, call us, and I'll be watching this video to make sure that we get you on live. You don't have to say who you are if you don't want to, but just, you know, if you want to, then you can say who you are once you're live and ask your question, and we'll do our best to answer it as quickly as possible. And, of course, lining up with God's word, because we truly want to see you grow this morning. One of the things that Angela and I talked about, peace and combat boots, is something that God gave Angela, gave you, Angela, to talk about on your blog. And it's an area that you and I find ourselves struggling in, but we know if we're struggling in it, then others are struggling in it. And I love what you said at the beginning. You said, sometimes I find myself igniting conversation. I love that you used igniting conversation with my husband only for the personal sake of proving my point. Righteous or justice-driven, it doesn't matter. I want my point to be made and my voice to be heard. I believe my words will be more powerful than my silence. Wow. But somehow, that never turns out to be the case. And you and I both know, just reading this, there are scriptures that are popping up in our heads that are saying, no, this is wrong. You know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. With and without words, be a quiet influence. I mean, Angela.
Mm-hmm. That's
actually... I love your transparency.
I wrote down that exactly. Proverbs 18:21, death and life comes through the tongue. Ephesians 4:29, use building up words. Yeah, I wrote down the same thing, Cherie, and I agree with you, because I do think that my words are going to be more powerful than my silence. And for some reason, when I'm in a moment when I want to make a point and I want to be heard, knowledge and reason overcomes my ability to be silent. And mm-hmm. I don't know, do you have that same issue? And it's not just in my marriage, but being a teacher, being an ordained minister, I think I'm a person of words and I'm a teacher. And so there's many times, not just in my marriage, but I feel the need to speak. And
yeah.
And so I do run into this issue a lot. And I want to know why my point isn't heard.
Why is my point not heard? Why are you not getting what I'm saying? Oh, I'm so excited to delve into this, because there are so many layers that we can unpack this hour, and I know that the ladies that call in, if we do get callers, they're going to be, maybe we'll get husbands as well. Maybe they have a thought about this. I'm sure they do.
Yes, that would be good.
Be quiet. So we're going to go ahead and get started with prayer. So those of you that are in the chat room, sweet ladies, you know what to do. Those who are driving, we do have a few that are driving when they listen, and so make sure that you do not close your eyes or raise your hands at the same time. We don't want any accidents because of the Imperfect Wives Radio. But we're going to go ahead and bow our heads now, and we're going to ask God to meet us right where we are. Dear Heavenly Father, Daddy, we come to you and we just want to lift our hearts before you. God, we understand and know that in your presence, we are undone, Lord. In your presence, we receive what we need to receive, God. So, Lord, this morning, where every imperfect wife is sitting and even imperfect husband, God, we ask, Lord, that you would just fill these rooms and the vehicles, wherever we're all at, our offices, that you would fill our area, our space, God, with your presence. Lord, we ask, God, that you would give us the courage and the strength to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with you about the topic we're going to be delving into this morning. God, we ask that all of us would have ears to hear. Lord, that we would have eyes to see. God, that we would sense, Lord, not just your presence, Lord, but hear your voice as your Holy Spirit speaks to us. God, let us apply what we're going to learn today immediately, Lord. Let us walk it out throughout our life. Let your light be so bright within us, God, that otherwise we're drawn to us because of the changes you're making now, Lord. Rebecca said a few weeks ago, Lord, that ministry is multiplication, God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would multiply what you're going to do here this morning in this hour. God, we ask, Lord, that you have your way, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, that that we have you in today's life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. I always hear that after I say amen. All right, so Angela, I wanted to ask you a pretty personal question because, you know, here at The Imperfect Wives, we always try to unveil ourselves because we understand that though some of us, many of us probably are dealing with perfection, wanting to be perfect, we're not. So one of the first things that we do is we learn to unveil ourselves before others and to be transparent about what we're walking through. Because though it's scary to do that, you and I know that when we are transparent, that's when God can really step in and start doing a mighty work within us. So if you think about peace and combat boots, what story comes to your heart that you can share with us?
Well, first of all, I already mentioned in my profession as a leader how much I struggle with this just because I'm a woman of words. And I know many mm-hmm. of you probably identify with that because as women I think we communicate very much so, more than men with words. And that might be our first clue of why our words are not effective when we're talking to men, and especially our husbands. But God just created us differently, and that's okay. But in my marriage, you know, I married my husband. I come from a background of divorce and a total of 6 marriages between my mom and my dad. And so when I got married to my husband, I have to say that I was looking for security and stability. And my husband absolutely provides every ounce of that. He is a man who is an incredible provider. He is a man who's of control. And if mm-hmm. anybody out there has ever done Strength Finders before, I'm actually a coach for it, but I learned about Strength Finders through listening. I was listening to a Mosaic online, a podcast. I love listening to podcasts, and they were talking about that they do it at their church. And so I got the book, Strength Finders, and so you take a little test at the back, and it gives you 5 of your top strengths. And mm-hmm. then I gave it to my husband to do, and my eyes became wide open to why we communicated the way we did. And so my strengths are learner, restorative. I am very much into the individual and their story. I'm an achiever. I love inputs, which always goes with learner, and I'm an activator, so I love to get things done. But I'm really about learning, and I'm really about individuals, so my job is perfect for me. But for him, his top 5 are achiever, self-assurance, significance. He's competitive, and he has command. And very few people have command. And so that means he is a man, I always say, he's a man who knows what he wants and knows how he gets it, how to get it. And that's what I was really attracted to. Well, what you're usually attracted to when you're dating is what becomes then your biggest fight later. So in our relationship, I will go silent for a long time, and then it kind of builds up because mm-hmm. eventually I want my opinion to be heard.
Okay.
because I think, like, I'll let him have – basically it comes down to letting him have his way. And then I'll be, like, just blurt out, okay, well, now I want my way. And so I think that's mm-hmm. where the igniting of conversation for my personal sake comes in. And so I think I'm justified, and I want him to hear me. And so that's not the right way to achieve what I want. So it comes down to expressing what I need but not in the right way. And so what is has helped is to understand our differences and to learn to communicate those in the way that Jesus is teaching. And I am not doing it perfectly. That's why I'm writing this blog, because if you read anything that I write, it will always be out of personal experience.
Right.
But just recently, we were talking about, we were standing in line at a Sounders game and talking about there was people cutting. And he was like, well, is it really wrong to cut in line? And, of course, I was, you know, on my righteous, well, the, you know, Jesus says the first will go last and the last will go first. And he, of course, then being the person that he is, I think he should have been a lawyer, just wants to argue that. And, of course, he would never teach our kids to cut in line. But the right. fact that I was preaching is never going to get my point across. So,
right.
ladies, what I'm saying is that me igniting conversation for my own personal sake to prove my point never works. And Jesus never taught that. And there's a reason why. So in my marriage, I'm just finding that we're different for very, very positive reasons.
Right,
and
right.
that makes a really beautiful marriage when I decide to see it that way. So I think there's a lot we can talk about with that.
Yeah, one of the things as you were talking that the Lord spoke to me was, it's really based on what we're talking about this morning. Are you wearing your shoes of peace or your combat boots? And you were talking about strength, and you're talking about the book, The Strength Finder, and I can't remember who wrote it. Do you remember who wrote it?
Tom Rath, but there is actually
right.
several different versions written by different people,
versions
but Tom
of
Rath is the of Strength Finders,
okay.
yeah.
Okay. What the Lord spoke to me was, you know, to look at your strength individually. I just want to encourage everyone as you're listening to look at your strengths, write them down, and then listen for God's voice to speak to you about how are you using these strengths? Are you using them for peace, or are you using them as combat boots to combat your way through, you know, to break through an area that God's not wanting you to actually break through? I think that, Angela, I think when we're interceding, there's a time for our combat boots. When we're interceding, when we stand in the gap for somebody on their behalf, when we're fasting, I think those are perfect moments for us to put on our combat boots. But there, it just feels like that there are more reasons to walk in the shoes of peace
mm-hmm.
than there is, you know, for the combat. And I, you know, as a counselor, I'm always looking for the roots because that's what I was taught in college. You look for the root, Sheree, whatever the root issue is. If you can reveal what the root issue is, why are you wearing combat boots all the time? Because when we think about it, when we put on our combat boots, we're usually fighting, right? We're fighting for our right to be heard, like you said. We're fighting to get our point across. For whatever reason, we feel like we're right, you know, in the situation. And I think that if we've got our combat boots on in the wrong season for the wrong situation, then what we're doing is we're shutting ourselves off to the Holy Spirit. And now
mm-hmm.
we can't hear and talk to us.
Mm-hmm. That is so good. I really love what you're saying. And the root cause for me goes back to, I have to ask that question, what is my motivation for
yeah.
igniting and wearing my combat boots? What is my motivation? My motivation usually goes back to, like you said, why I have to say, why do I want to be heard? What is my need for wanting to be heard?
Mm-hmm.
And that then, if I go back and say, Lord, why do I need to be heard right now? And he will usually make it really clear. It's because
mm-hmm.
it's based on usually my insecurity as a woman. And most
mm-hmm.
of the time it goes back to my childhood. I need to be loved. I need to be needed. I need to be, and those are things that my husband is giving me. But honestly, My husband is not required to give me all those things. Those things come through my relationship with God. And there'll be many times when God redirects me and says, Angela, have you been spending time with me? Or have you been just spending a lot of time working? Or have you been spending a lot of time running your kids to baseball? Or have you been spending a lot of time redecorating your office? I mean, where has your time been spent? I mean, as you know, I've been redecorating my office. So
yes, I do.
Yes, so these are the things. What is your motivation behind the words that you say? And or maybe it's anger that comes out. And so you have to look back at the root, like I love that, the root cause of that,
yeah,
that sentence. And then
it's a heart check.
It is a heart check. Absolutely.
It's a heart check.
And what we're saying is God is requiring us to do the hard thing.
Yes.
Something that came, the hard thing. Something that came to me last night. I woke up. We have chickens in our backyard, and for some reason they were rowdy this morning at 4 a.m. I don't know what was happening,
rowdy
but
at 4 a.m.
they were rowdy, and I was thinking to myself, what in the world is going on? Should I look? Because they are really having a party out there. It didn't sound like anything bad was happening. But I don't know why. Then I decided, well, I guess I should pray. It's a good time to pray. So since I'm awake. And God was really showing me what would be the outcome if I decide to wear combat boots, and what is the outcome if I decide to wear shoes of peace? Like, really try to see the end result of both. Mm-hmm. Because so often I don't look at that. I don't look at what's the end result which shoes do I pick to wear today?
You look at one of our scriptures that God gave both of us, Ephesians 6:11-12, and I kind of want to break it down a little because it's pulling right into where you're at this moment as you're sharing. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. We're talking about is we're putting on our boots, and not in the way that God's wanting us to. It really is a heart check. Why are we doing this? What is the root reason? We have to put on the full armor of God so that we can take a stand against the devil's schemes. Because Satan is promoting, you said, Angela, that you deal with insecurity. Satan at that moment was promoting your insecurities. So instantly, your body, your thoughts go into self-preservation. They go into defense mode. You know, mm-hmm. When you put on your combat boots, you're automatically in a defense mode, right? So what God wants us to do is rise above this. And I love that when we can take his word and apply it to our situation, we can rise above it. We can see it from God's eyes instead of our own. Because you and I and all of our listeners know, sorry, that, as we're in a situation and we're struggling, as we grow in our walk with God, we are starting to see there are two parallels. One is the one that we're walking here on this earth, and then the other one is God. And God's wanting us to rise to where he is. And we can do that, even though we think we can't. We can do that. And all we have to do is remember to put on the full armor of God so that we can take a stand against the devil's king. At that moment, when you guys were talking about, is cutting wrong, that was the enemy trying to weasel his way in to cause division between you and your husband, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And you chose to put on your combat boots instead of walk in peace. I want to ask you to explain what peace would have looked like at that moment had you chosen peace. What would you have done differently, Angela?
You know, what I thought about later on is that I later on.
I love that. Later on.
After we didn't talk to each other for 10 minutes because it was a stupid conversation. Because obviously we have the same opinion about cutting. which I think is funny. Ladies who are just tuning in, we're not talking about cutting like with a knife. We're talking about cutting in line at the Sounders game.
Right.
So, I think that I would have asked his opinion. I would have, because men want to be respected. So I think he was making an observation about other people cutting. And he also is a man who very much wants to provide for me and our children. And down deep inside, all men want this. They want you to be protected. They want you to be provided for. So if in any way they are not able to do this, even in the, like, this seems so small to not be able to get you into the game on time. But in the bigger, but in his mind, this is how my husband is. He wants, you know, the best seat, and he wants you to be on time, and he doesn't want you to have to wait in line. So in his mind, these are all things that are going on. And in my mind, I'm very black and white about just, we were just having a conversation about cutting in line, right? So I think I would have asked him, so what are the reasons why someone should cut in line? I mean, just simply, instead of engaging in I'm right and you're wrong, why? How about asking the question, so why do you think it would be okay for someone to cut in line? I think probably what he would have said, well, it's not.
Yeah.
I think you have to let other people answer their own question. And if, and the funny thing is that I've taken a lot of coaching classes, and in any good coach only asks questions. It's only 10% of the time that you actually answer the question for somebody or direct the question. So I think in marriage, asking questions helps people to actually come to the answer that they already know in their heart. And that really is a trust issue. You have to trust that people know the answer and that God is directing them through the Holy Spirit. So even if your husband is not a Christ follower, God is still pursuing them, and through you as a Christian is moving them with the Holy Spirit. And so there becomes a faith and a trust issue that you have to have for that person in your life, that God is really working in their life. And so in my humanness, I faltered, and I will again. But looking back, I think in that simple illustration, I don't know, I probably will, but I want to try not to, right? I'm going to try a different path. And I have on other occasions actually tried that question, asking questions, and seen it be successful, and then went, yay, that worked. So that's definitely the way that I would have approached it differently. What would you have done?
Well, I would have been quiet, but that's my personality, you know, now. Well, the thing that, and I'll get into that here in just a second, the thing that I love is she said, you know, you were both right. You were actually both right. But, Angela, there's a time in our walk as we mature, you know, in our walk with God, that we understand though we are right about what we're saying, maybe we're not supposed to be saying it. Maybe we're supposed to just walk with that quiet spirit. So discerning the right and wrong time, I think, is key. And we all know, you know, listeners, I know that your God is reminding you of some situations, recent situations that you have walked through with your husband or maybe with a coworker or your boss or something, I don't know. And you, before you actually said it, you had a thought and you sensed the Holy Spirit say something to you, and you disregarded or brushed off what he was trying to counsel you to do, and you said it anyway. I know that you're thinking about that right now because I know that God wants to minister to you in this area. And again, you know, Angela and I are here sharing our hearts with you and sharing God's word, not for the purpose to cause condemnation, because that's not what we're here for. If you're feeling condemned, that's the enemy, and that needs to be put in its place, because mm-hmm. God doesn't condemn you either. Because Jesus said, I came into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. So we know that condemnation does not come from God. That comes from Satan. And no good comes when we walk under a spirit of condemnation, because we just feel defeated the whole time. Mm-hmm. So that is not the point here. Angela and I just want to get across to you that God wants to take you deeper in your walk with him, and he wants to show you some things, reveal some things to you, because he wants to rise you above what you're going through. He wants to honor your prayers, and he wants to change your marriage. But he needs you to commit to walk with him and to allow him to change you so that this can come to pass. That's why I get excited, Angela, when we talk about boot camp and, you know, these words come up. I get excited because God's already taken me through a really, really deep boot camp in the beginning of my marriage, which is actually the foundation of how this ministry started. And he taught me how to fight for my marriage the right way. And the only right way is to line up with his word. But, you know, as we're doing this, another scripture that God gave us is Ephesians 6:15. Specifically, Paul says to put on the shoes of peace that comes from the good news so that you will fully be prepared to fight. Mm-hmm. What a great scripture. I think that was our paraphrase. I'm going to pull it up in my Bible real quick and see what we have. Okay, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So when we are thinking, literally, putting on the gospel of peace, if we can get used to walking in that, walking in a spirit of peace, then we're going to be able to hear the Lord, I think, a little clearer. At least I know I can. When I have my mind set on the Lord and I have my armor on each day, then I'm able to hear God so much clearer than when I've taken the armor off and I just walk on my own. I love, Angela, you said a moment ago that, you know, you're choosing to take a different path. And the path that you're choosing is actually the right path. but it's so hard. It's so hard when we want to win. It's so hard when we, you know, we just want our husbands to understand that we're right. And they just really need to listen to it. But what we don't realize is that Jesus is our defender. We don't have to defend ourselves. He will defend us, right?
That is so true. And he also, when I feel the most frustrated, anytime that I pray, God, and I usually am praying because I want God to change my husband. God usually changes my own heart and my own mind about something. And that's when it looks like he's changing my husband. But it's usually he's doing that work in me. And he's giving me peace of mind, because that's what the good news brings. And it brings peace and redemption. And he's compassionate to us. And he's merciful with us. And I need it first. I really do. And so mm-hmm. I'm thankful for that. I'm so thankful. And I know we're going to go on and talk more about the armor of God and what we need, because all the pieces of the armor of God are important.
Yes,
and I encourage, if we don't get to all of them today, ladies, I encourage you to go to Ephesians 6 and study that for yourself and be putting those pieces on one by one and try them on for yourself and see how they fit, because it's very important to have those on each day. And if you could just mentally put those on each morning in the middle of the day and at the end of the day, you'll see a difference in your life. And I'm going to do that with you, because I really need that reminder.
Yeah. I just got a visual as I was reading a part of your notes. You said, my shoes of combat are characterized by my desire to explain, justify, or teach my beliefs. You are so cute. Okay, our listeners don't know this, but you are the cutest blonde, short person I've ever met. And I did not say that right. I'm really not good at that. I don't think exhortation is one of my gifts. But what I'm seeing is, as I read your thoughts there in our notes, I see this, you know, you're like just plowing through. When you have your combat boots on, you're like a force to be reckoned with. And we're all that way. Not just you. That was just a visual that the Lord gave me. It applies to all of us. We are, you know, some of us are these sweet, loving, gentle women. But as soon as we put on our combat boots at the wrong time, we become forces to be reckoned with. We become loud. We become angry. We completely change. And we know that, you know, if we'll step back and look at, you know, why is our family looking at us like we're crazy? There's a reason. You know, because we just conform to something that is not of God. And again, no condemnation. We are just, you know, we're here because we want to learn and we want to grow. And the ultimate goal for all of the imperfect lives is to become an outward reflection of our inward Savior. That's really the purpose here. And, you know, as we allow God to come in and to correct and convict and to change us, I think every wife has said, Lord, please change him, change him. You know, I think that's probably been our mantra for a season. Change him, God. I'm not the one that needs to be changed. He does. But in actuality, Angela, as you know, and our listeners know, whenever we're sitting at the table with God and we've decided to walk into a covenant with him, to create a covenant for our marriage, the first thing I didn't realize when I did that was that God was going to work on me first. Because I was saved and Bill wasn't, I honestly thought I had it together. I was like 5 days old. My Christian walk. I had nothing together. Okay, that tells you how presumptuous I was at that age. And, yeah, I knew nothing. But I thought I knew everything. And I even told God, why do you want to change me? I've already been changed. I've received salvation. I've invited you into my life. I've given you my heart. I've surrendered my life to you. Why in the world do you want to change me first when he's the one walking around and he's not saved? And he doesn't care that I love you and da-da-da-da-da. I had a whole list of reasons, Angela, why God was wrong and I was right. Did you catch what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Why God was wrong and I was right. And it was really important. In fact, I got quite angry. And, boy, you know, I just didn't know. I didn't have a clue. But once I got over myself and I started walking in what God was saying to me, then I started realizing there really is a lot that needs to change in me, and it has taken years, and I'm still not completely changed. I still struggle in areas, just like I know you do and our listeners are. But the good news is we are a work in progress. The good news is that God's not going to leave us unchanged. The good news is that as long as we're on this earth, the Holy Spirit's going to counsel us and teach us, and he's going to be there to catch us when we let him. And that's why it's so important that we get into the Word every day. We have some questions that we want to ask you, and we hope that you will call in either with your questions or with your answers. As we talk about putting on the full armor, and as we talk about whether we're wearing our peace, our shoes of peace, or our shoes of combat boots, we're going to take a break for just a moment to give you a chance to get your warm up your coffee or you know, whatever it is that you need to do for just 1 minute, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the right platform to advertise with? Hi, my name is Cherie Zack, and I am the co-founder of The Imperfect Wives and Imperfect Wives Radio. Are you an author with a book that encourages wives in their marriage by reaching out to them with the very needs they have? Maybe you're a life coach who is looking for a great way to get the word out about your services, or a blog that encourages motherhood in the midst of a discouraging culture. We understand how difficult it can be to find the right platform to advertise your business or ministry. Imperfect Wives Radio has been blessed to have a platform that is reaching a niche of women who are striving to become the women God has designed them to be. If this is the kind of audience you are looking for, email us at radio@theimperfectwives.com for more information, including our advertising packages that are currently available. Join us on Imperfect Wives Radio and let God use you to encourage and strengthen women, imperfections and all.
Well, welcome back to Imperfect Wives Radio. I am your host, Cherie Zack, with my sweet friend, Angela Craig, and we are talking about putting on the shoes of peace versus putting on your fighting boots, your combat boots, whatever you want to call them. We know that we each have a different name for them. So, Angela, we are going to go to our questions. You want to bring the first one to us?
Absolutely. And I talked about my motivation for wearing combat boots, and so I would love to hear our listeners' motivation for putting on their combat boots. Or you could also answer the question, putting on your, what is your motivation for putting on your shoes of peace? That would be, I would love to hear that too. Do you want me to go through all of them or?
Well, we'll go one at a time. Yeah,
okay.
If you'd like to call in and either ask a question or share your thoughts with us, the call-in number is 323-792-2957. Again, the call-in number, 323-792-2957. Angela, we all have a reason for putting our boots on, and I can tell you this from my own experience. Okay, you look at the shoes of peace. The shoes of peace are probably like flip-flops or tennis shoes. They're your comfy shoes, right? They're the shoes because they're peaceful. So they're the shoes that you tend to put on when you want to relax. Maybe they're, you know, I don't know what they can be, moccasins. Any, whatever it is that you like to wear when you want to relax, that's a picture of your shoes of peace. But what do your combat boots look like? You know, what do your combat boots look like? When we think about it, they're not, you know, sometimes they, maybe they're heels, you know.
They're really making a statement.
They're making a statement. The shoes that can hurt somebody,
uh-huh.
You know, if they got sick with them. You know, maybe they're, what shoes do you put on when you're frustrated? What do you, you know, maybe they're your running shoes because you need to run. You know, Angela and I are both runners, so we get that. We get that visual. But what shoes do you put on? What is your motivation? Are you frustrated? Are you angry? What are you thinking? Angela, share with us your thoughts. What is your motivation when you put your combat boots on? And before you answer that, I just had a thought. You know, your slippers, your flip-flops, your easy shoes, your peaceful shoes are easy to put on. Your combat boots, they take time to put on, and yet we take more time to do that than we will something that's easy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. That's a good, that is a very good statement. You know, there's something, when we're talking about combat boots, I personally love shoes, and I will spend more time buying shoes than I would clothes. I don't like to go clothes shopping. But when you talk about combat boots, there's something kind of attractive about it. And because I think that our world leads us to believe that there's something a little sexy about women who make a statement and who speak their mind and who stand their ground. And there's not anything very attractive or sexy about women who are understated or that are silent. And and so that I think that that really gives the wrong impression, because we're not talking about being women who are stepped on by combat boots or so passive that you don't have an opinion or you don't ask for what you need. That's not what we're talking
right.
about, because that's not who Jesus was. Jesus was never passive, and he didn't get stepped on. But he was someone, the shoes of peace are shoes that healed and were encouraging, and what the shoes of peace are more what I see, shoes that we wear when we want to be attractive in the way that's, what's the word, classy is the word that I'm looking for.
Yeah, classy is a great word, yeah.
So I think that instead of looking at it, because there is something that I feel like I want to make a stand sometimes, and I want to get on a soapbox sometimes. And sometimes my kids will say when I get going on women's rights many times, and especially about young girls and the way that women are treated as objects instead of as people. And they'll go, and my family will say, are you going to talk about that again? Well, maybe until someone hears me, that's what I want to say. Until someone hears me and changes, that's kind of, and so that's when I put my combat boots on. So it's hard to walk that line. And so I don't know that I answered your question, but I think it did. Okay.
These are my triggers that trigger your combat boots.
When we look at the armor of God, and here's one of the pieces that God says. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, which protects your chest. And what is underneath the breastplate? All your vital organs, your heart. Your heart is what motivates you. Like, my heart is what motivates me to be passionate about those issues. I'm passionate about protecting women, about protecting young girls. I have two boys. I don't have girls. But I'm passionate about teaching my boys to respect women and treat them in a decent way. So my motivation has to be pure. And so God says, put on that breastplate of righteousness, and so we know where our motivation comes from. And
I think the opposite of that motivation is we can find in Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still.
We don't have to fight for ourselves.
Yeah, I love that. We actually made a picture for the imperfect wives to encourage wives and remind them of that scripture. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And I think that when we put on the shoes of peace, we are still. Mm-hmm. If you think about your house slippers or whatever you call them today, the visual I get is I'm sitting in front of the fire with my house coat on and my PJs and my house slippers, and I'm peaceful and I'm still.
I would love to see women take pictures of their shoes of peace and put them on the website, on your fan page.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
If they could do that.
We have a caller. Hold on just a moment.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. How are you?
Am I on?
You are. You are live with Imperfect Wives.
Hi, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
I've been in the chat room, and I'm hearing a question from one of the wives. She feels like she's been a robot. My question is, if someone has either been on either stance, like not saying anything at all or saying the wrong thing, how do we begin? Mm. What is the first step we should take to change this whole pattern?
Mm-hmm. I totally understand.
I totally understand.
You're not alone. Do you want to go ahead, Sheree?
Go ahead, Angela.
Okay. I feel like I can completely identify with this. And I can tell you it does not happen overnight, the change. And you will fall back into, because this is a pattern of communication. Because I think what happens is that we feel like we have to pick silence or we have to pick outburst. And neither is the right path necessarily. So peace and silence are two totally different things. And that's where I think we get confused. So first of all, we're talking about motivation. So I would really encourage you and definitely keep talking online or email us and we can continue the conversation because I think that it's more in depth of what are your motivations to speak out or to stay silent. I know your motivations to stay silent is to have a healed relationship probably, to have a great marriage. What do you need your needs met as well? And so how do we get those needs met and communicate those in a healthy way? And so there's ways to do that. And so I suggest coaching is a great tool. Counseling is a great tool to then learn how to communicate. Also doing something like Strength Finders, as having you and your husband do, there's lots of tools like that to help you to understand each other's communication style And that is a huge eye-opener, because then you can go, oh, that's actually a strength in my husband. Like, when I learned my husband had command, I was like, wow, okay, I really get it now. That's a strength, not necessarily a negative. And so then I saw it as more of, instead of a dandelion, it was like this huge, I saw it come out in his job, like why he's an executive. And instead of, he was just always making all the decisions in our home. And I never had a voice. Well, that wasn't really the case. I never gave myself a voice. So it wasn't that he was telling me I didn't have a voice. I was allowing that to happen because I just never spoke up. So there's all sorts of tools that are available to you, and both Sheree and I would be happy to help. I don't know if I answered the question. I think the first thing is to understand that this is very, very common, the difference, the going back and forth between silence and then outburst. And we all do it differently. So a lot of times we'll do, this is, I hear this too, is you'll be, someone will be silent and then say something sarcastic, or silent and then body language, or we'll tell it all. Like my children, they don't say anything, but they'll slam the door, right? So we all have our ways of communicating what we really want to say. So what we need to do is learn how to say what we really need in a healthy way. And it is absolutely possible to do that. It will take time, and it just takes relearning of a skill. So I know it can be done, and God's word is there to help us. So, Sheree, what is your advice?
Well, pretty much what you said. I think that I know when I counsel wives behind the scenes, I always want to get the root. You know, there's always a root for everything. Why do you feel like that you need to walk as a robot? What's actually going on, you know, deep inside of you? Because if you can figure out what that root is, then you'll be able to know what the next steps are. And the only way for us to find the root is through prayer. And through reading God's word. And one of the things I like to do is I love to take the wives down the path that God took me when Bill asked for the divorce and God asked me, are you going to stay and fight or are you going to run? I didn't understand what stay and fight meant, but I learned pretty quickly what that meant. That meant boot camp. That meant putting on my combat boots for the right reason and not for the wrong ones. You take the Bible, you read your scripture, and those verses that leap at you, write those down, start a journal so that you can, commit a journal to this purpose and begin to pray and ask God to guide you in his word. And then, like I said, as you read his word, what scriptures are leaping at you, highlight those in your Bible, write some notes next to them so you can remember why you've highlighted these. That way when you go back and read them again, God can remind you. And then write them down in your journal and write down what God is saying to you, because he wants to dig up this root. He doesn't want you to be a robot. And I know from my own walk, the times that I was a robot were because I chose to be. Our husbands aren't making us to be robots. We're actually making the choice to do that. Does that make sense? We can place the blame on them, but we're the ones that are choosing to walk as a robot. We're the ones that are choosing to put up that wall and walk away from them. When we're angry, the reason God said, will you stay and fight, Sheree, or are you going to run? Actually, he said, are you going to run or are you going to stay and fight? And the reason God used the word run with me is because I ran emotionally. I ran physically. You know, when the situation got mad, got too bad, when Bill hurt me, what I would do is shut down, because what I was doing was, in my shutting down, I was cutting him off, and, you know, I was making, what's the word, Angela? I was cutting him off and... discipline. I was disciplining him.
I was disciplining him.
Yeah, I was punishing him. And who I was actually punishing was me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not taking any weight away from, I'm not negating how you feel about, you know, feeling like a robot. I'm just saying, if we can get to the root issue of why you have made the choice to become a robot, then God can begin to unravel all of that, and he can replace all that negative with his word, and then you can rise up strong, and you can rise up the wife that your husband actually wants and needs. you know, Satan comes in and he brings these thoughts to us, ladies, and we receive them because of, like Angela said in the beginning, she deals with low self-esteem. She deals with things like that. Mm-hmm. So the enemy knows this. He's been taking notes on you, and he knows what you battle. He knows that the things that you're weak in, those areas, and he's going to use those against you. So if you find yourself walking as a robot, if you find yourself sitting on walls, if you find yourself, you know, disciplining your husband, punishing him, these are all red flags that there's a root issue that you need to get to. You need to uncover that so that you can deal with it. Because God truly wants you to be healthy. And the only way to do that is to walk with him. There's no other answer, ladies. Every answer is in his word. You can talk to Angela and I. We're going to put you right back to God. And we can help guide you and coach you. But we're still going to point you right back to God because he is the answer. His word says that I am the way and the light. And I love that, Angela, that God is the light. And there's something else I want to share with you, ladies. Not that I mean to take over the show, because that's not my heart. I was crying out to God in my shower this morning because I'm overwhelmed as a ministry leader. I am overwhelmed with two different ministries. And I cried out to him, and he spoke to me, and he said, "Sherry, you are my daughter. Have you forgotten this? You are my daughter." And what I was forgetting, Angela, is that I am his daughter first.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can just remember that I'm his daughter first, anything else is going to fall into place. My mind wasn't even on that. My mind was on how overwhelmed I am at the moment. My mind was on, you know, everything that I have to accomplish within these two ministries. Someone who doesn't feel most days that I'm even the right person to lead either of these ministries. And yet God chose me for the Women's Department for South Carolina and for the Imperfect Wife. And I know I'm not talking to myself. I'm sure there's some of you listening thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm right there with you. Just remember that as you're struggling, that you are God's daughter first. You are his daughter. You are a daughter of the Most High King. Robot, defense mechanisms, walls, punishment, and all. You are still the daughter's king, the king's daughter. And no matter what you do, that's not going to disqualify you from who you are. We've got to get that right in our hearts, because if we can get that straight, then those tools that Satan is using against us, we can actually win. And, of course, I'm sitting on the full armor of God. Go ahead, Angela. I know you're dying to say something.
Well, I'm just trying to soak all that in. That was so good. I think you are preaching to me. That is so good. For our listener, I just want to encourage you and tell you that I'm really proud of you for walking in your faith and growing in your relationship with God, and constantly just remind yourself that God is pursuing your husband as he pursues you, and that his walk with God is going to be totally different than yours, and so trust that you can have relationship with your girlfriends and in Bible study, and if you're in a church, that's a great place to get connected, because you're going to be able to be transparent with other women or in ministries in a small group more so than you possibly will be with your husband about issues like this. And so you need a safe place to be able to talk. And I think I've grown in my faith that way more and learned more through other people in accountability small groups than by myself. So I would just encourage you to just keep at it. And also, in my own marriage, what I've seen is, like what I said at the beginning, what I sought out in my husband, security, in the beginning, which I still love and I cherish, and was what I bristle against is what I put my combat boots on. Isn't that funny? Because as I become more secure in the Lord, I'm becoming more confident and hopefully humbly so, not when I have combat boots on. But that's what you'll see in yourself as well. As you become more confident in the Lord, then your relationship with your husband is going to change. And so... Yeah. But we want it to change for the positive, not the negative.
Right.
And so it really is about, I had to look at, it was really me, not him. So he was still giving me everything I asked for, but I was resisting it because then all of a sudden I was like, wait a second, I want to be able to take care of myself, but no, wait, I don't. Oh,
right,
yes, I do.
Right.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Yes,
I do. I think we all have that little conversation that happens.
Yeah, so I think it is really just being able to have the out loud conversations and just say, I'm not perfect, and you do have to just be prayerful and look at what Scripture says, and and everybody's motivation is going to be different because every relationship is different. So my husband has never changed. So it all ends up being about me, and I know you've got to close. So we're thankful
for
you.
Yeah, we do. Ladies, thank you for joining us today. We pray that what you have heard this morning is just the beginning of a new journey that you're going to take with God. I have a feeling we're going to continue this next week because we have a few more questions, and we want to delve a little bit deeper into what God's wanting to show us. So until next week, have an incredible week. We will be praying for you. And remember to share your shoes, your peaceful shoes, and your combat boots in the club. Share a picture with us, and we'll continue the conversation over there. Have a great day, everyone. Goodbye.
Have a great day.